Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Stroud will line up under center, make sure everybody is set, takes the snap, drops down to his left knee. That's it. The Houston Texans, a gritty win tonight, led by their defense in the second half. The Texans beat the Chicago Bears by a score of 19-13, and Houston goes to 2-0 in the 2024 campaign.
Gritty is one way to describe it. Kind of a weird game, poorly officiated. It wasn't that easy on the eyes just because there was no real pace to the game itself. And then you had the old guy in the chain gang falling over.
When he fell backwards, I was like, it seemed almost, I saw the replay, obviously, it's slow motion. It seemed like a dramatic replay, but I was like, oh no, he's really hurt. Like,
yeah, he hit his head hard.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that at first. I was like, wait, what's going on? But yeah.
I wasn't sure what happened because I had gotten up at that point because I've been trying to install a garbage disposal. Do not ask.
How's that going?
Bad.
That seems like, so you know the beauty of, like, people talk about men aren't men anymore, they're not doing around the house things, they're not improving things.
I'm trying,
but like YouTube exists and we can all like figure it out. Do you remember the old, like, was it Time Life?
Yeah,
like anthology,
yeah,
where they teach you how to do anything.
Yes.
Right, in books, but now we have that in YouTube form.
Look, this is way beyond that.
This is way
it's
beyond
fine
that.
Now it's fine.
It's
now
fine.
Now
you fixed it.
Well, I mean, a professional came
by yourself
out. And actually, I did get high marks. The professional's like, you know, I didn't know that you had to rewire the entire electrical plate on the bottom to put this in there. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know which was the neutral wire and which was the ground wire.
Oh.
And then I got another.
But they did.
Yes.
Or they figured it out.
Yeah, but he had to call an electrician. My handyman actually had to call an electrician.
Okay, so you felt better about the process.
I did a lot. And I didn't have to do anything. And nobody died yet. And nothing caught on fire yet.
These are all positive developments.
The floor. We raise the floor is what we do. We have the floor high. And also, before we hear from Ed Eberflus real quick, thanks again to Shake Shack. This stuff's really good. It's really, really, really good. And they have their own branded water, too. So that's cool. I just also want to say thank you to a couple of folks that I met on Friday night. I was out seeing a friend's band on the Northwest side. And as I was walking back, I stopped into a bar in my neighborhood because I wanted to use a bathroom and I'd never been in the bar before. I'm like, oh, this place is pretty cool. I'll belly up and have a beer just because why not? And I overheard their conversation, and they're a couple of positional coaches at Notre Dame High School who were drinking away their sorrows after a loss,
Friday night loss.
And yeah, they had a tough one, but I said, you know, I'm sorry to eavesdrop, but you guys are saying, I'm really interested in what you're talking about.
Oh my goodness.
Because they were talking like ball.
You earjacked their conversation.
But they were moving glass around, like, well, hey, well, if this guy's here, then we're gonna have to find some space here. And it was sexy football. And I was just kind of like, oh, this is really cool.
Made you want to slip into something more sexy, didn't
so,
you?
Yeah,
and join
right?
the conversation.
Right.
Got it.
But
got
and,
it.
No, and they were super, super nice, and I had a really nice time talking ball. A little bit of local high school football gossip, you know, that kind of thing, you know, hearing some stuff about people and coaches and things and places. But shout out to Notre Dame High School football, and may you get the 21 points that you guys are looking for as well. Speaking of football coaches, Matt Eberflus began with his post-game Monday opening comments.
So I'll just open up with some of the items that we talked about last night. You know, I thought that overall, like I said, I was proud of the guys, how they fought through the entire game, and we had a really good resiliency, you know, in terms of playing complimentary football, hanging in together, and giving us an opportunity to win that game at the end. I thought the first drive by the offense was good. Caleb went 5 for 5 there. Again, we ended up kicking that field goal, but I do believe that, you know, right before the half, we had some good complimentary football going there. We had a nice punt and pin. Got the ball back to our offense. You know, we end up scoring at the very end there, you know, to make it, 16-10 at half. I know, you know, we got to do a better job on defense at the end there and not letting them get into field goal range. We had them right outside the field goal with the kick line there, and we lost the containment on the left side, and then they end up getting a scramble drill to number 12 and then end up getting in the kick range. And then we end up playing, a sideline defense, and then they end up kicking that long field goal. But I thought that was good complimentary football. And then at the very end, we did the same thing. We did a really good job of playing good defense in the second half, giving our guys a chance to go down and kick that field goal with a one drive. And then we just put ourselves in position again with the defense, in terms of getting the ball back for our offense to go back down there and win it. And, we had an unfortunate, sack at the end there, which put us behind the sticks. And then we didn't finish off the right way to be able to end that game with a touchdown and a victory. So we just fell short. And we're looking at the tape right now. Guys got in late last night. We got into the house hall about 4 o'clock. And guys are back in here right now. Offense and defense are meeting right now, going over the tape. I was just in with the offense, and I'll be going in with the defense right after this. But I'll take questions.
First question, Pat Finley.
Hey, Matt. When we talk about your pass protection, what's more concerning to you, the execution when the other team brings pressure, or the fact that you guys are putting yourselves in those situations where you're second and long and third and long?
Yeah, that's great, Pat, and great observation there, because I do believe that when you're able to run the ball and move the ball and stay ahead of the chains, you don't get those types of pressures and that where you know you're all pass protection. So we have to do a really good job with that coming forward and not creating those distances for us that are favorable for us on offense, that we can, rely more on the quick passing, rely more on to convert third downs and really get first downs on first and second down, not even get the third down. So that's what we're searching for. We're hunting for that. And we were just in that meeting talking about that just 10 minutes ago.
Jason?
Matt, on the interception that Caleb threw that was negated by a penalty elsewhere, how do you guys view the teaching process with him of not wanting to take away some of what makes him a special quarterback by being a gutsy thrower, but also realizing some of the things he got away with in college are not going to work in the NFL?
Yeah, great question. And that's really good, in terms of observing that as well. But on the first, the interception with DJ, that's a, what we call 50-50 ball. We had to do a real good job of placing that in the right spot, and the whoever the receiver is has to do a good job of making sure that no one catches that, but us. And the other one that was with Cole on the scramble, he's got to place that on the sideline there where Cole can only get it. But again, if it's underthrown just a titch, then we just got to make sure that we knock that ball down and come back to it and do a great job. But the one you're referring to, Jason, obviously, in football, you never want to throw across the field, on a scramble, because the guys have more time, more space to close and all those things. And that's just a great learning experience for him and exposure for him to be able to learn from that.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Kevin?
Hey, Matt, after watching the tape, what are some of the things you've diagnosed with the run game not being able to get off to start that you were hoping for last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's run game comes down to the basics. It comes down to your combo blocks. It comes down to guys, working their helmet in the right spot, staying square, working to the second level, spotting up to the second level, sticking and staying on that second level. The perimeter blocking, needs to improve with our push cracks, our crack blocking, blocking on the perimeter for perimeter screens, all those things. And this comes down to detail, and it comes down to us being consistent as a group to be able to get that done. And again, we got the guys, we got the coaches, we got the players, and we just got to be better at the details and be better at the fundamentals of running the ball.
Steve?
Hi, Coach. What are some of the things that you liked about the fact that your defense held arguably a pretty powerful offense to just 19 points?
Yeah, I was proud of the guys, how they hung in there and executed. Again, we weren't perfect. There were some things that we need to clean up, things we need to do better. Because we win and lose as a football team, and we have to do a better job on a couple things. I think scramble drills, one of them. I thought when CJ got out of the pocket, I thought that's where they got most of their big plays. And that's where a lot of the catching from, number 12, got a lot of his catches. So I think we need to improve there. But yeah, I was proud of the guys the way they fought. They're a resilient bunch. They believe in each other. The coaches do an outstanding job. But I was proud of the way they fought.
Mark.
Hey, Matt, your defense has played well overall, but especially in the second half. Is there something that happens either at halftime, or is it just them getting used to what the offense is doing, or what's the key to those to the improvement in the second half, and how could you get them to play that way in the first half?
Yeah, that's what we're hunting for right there, Mark. And I think it's important that we continue to be consistent. I think for our football team, is the consistency, is what we're searching for. And when we can play at a high level the entire game, I think that's going to be beneficial for our football team. And again, every single week, we have different set of circumstances in terms of the skill we're playing against, the design of the offense we're playing against. So it's always going to be a challenge for us to be able to be on the details as a group. But I think that, again, this is only a small sample size of two games where we did a nice job of playing better in the second half. But again, we have to do a good job of starting fast. And we did the first week. We had three and outs in the first half. We had a couple, in this first half. But again, we just got to, give credit to the offense too. They have their first 15. They do a good job of scheming up things. And then we just start settling in. But we want to start fast for sure.
Thank you.
Brittany?
Matt, coming out of the break into the second quarter, was there a substitution issue with the D-line? I know that Sweat, Walker, and Dexter were not on the field for the – it was the first play that was the Collins touchdown.
No, there was just a rotation there. But was it first down, Courtney?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we do that. We want to get our rushers back in on third down, and we'll do that to give those guys the reps that they need. So we can get those guys fresh, throughout the entire game and fresh into the fourth quarter.
Andy?
Yeah, hi, Matt. What's your expectation level that Keenan will be practicing this week?
Yeah, I don't have anything more. I haven't talked to the doctors yet today. And again, they're all checking guys out right now down there. I did see Keenan in the building, so we'll get more information as we go throughout this week. But that's where it is right now.
Okay, thanks.
Matt, when Caleb's under pressure the way he's been, I think 12% of all of his dropbacks, or he's been sacked on 12% of all of his dropbacks, do you have to take an active role in making sure that that doesn't create bad habits in him or do anything to kind of scar him going forward?
Yeah, he's a very tough person. He's very resilient, and he hangs in that pocket. And again, he showed his toughness last night. He took a couple in there, but the main thing he's got to do is, ball security in the pocket, which he's been relatively good at, and then also being able to stay in the pocket and ride that pocket when it's firm. And he's got to use his instincts if it does break down, because in the NFL it does sometimes. And, he does a good job with that as well. So just staying on the ball security, staying on the pocket, stay on his progressions, keep his eyes down the field, just keep doing the basics right.
Nick.
Hey, Matt. Just through 2 weeks, what has been your evaluation of Shane Waldron and his play calling? And what would you say are his strengths so far as an offense coordinator?
Yeah, I would say his strengths are the same that, that started the season. Great communicator, great teacher, really has a good feel for the game. Works well with his staff and the players. I thought we did a good job of distributing the ball yesterday, better than the first game in terms of putting it to our skill and the targets to our skill sets. That was really good. I have total belief in all those guys. I was just up with those guys talking about, what we're going to get done this week and how we're going to do it and be on the details and moving forward. But yeah, staff has been good. And we're always working to solve problems and get better every single week. It's never going to be perfect. And this week's no different.
Last couple, Kevin.
Hey, Matt, with the third down, I know you guys have liked the, so far this season having Travis back there with Caleb. I'm wondering, because we're used to Roshan, we saw him there a lot in camp. Is that something where Roshan still, was it a health thing, injury thing, getting back in that spot? Are there things that Travis Homer has done to kind of earn that role in the backfield? How do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, we want to be able to mix that up a little bit and change it. You know, Travis has done a really good job in protection. He's done a really good job when we had called some design runs in there. You know, for example, we had one yesterday. I believe he punctured it into the field goal range for us at the end. But again, we want to have a little bit of mix and match in there, you know, just to create some different matchup issues for the defense. And Roshan is one of those guys, and Swift is one of those guys, and Herbert's one of those guys, and all those guys are capable of doing it. And we like to have a little bit of mix in there, just like you do with your receivers and tight ends.
Courtney?
Matt, I know that pass protection, all those things feed into, you know, the offense being able to string, you know, some deeper shots together. But Caleb's, I think, over 11 on passes that have gone 15 yards or more downfield. Can you pinpoint, you know, I know that you said that you liked that he stepped up in the pocket, but that third and three coming out of halftime, seems like he kind of lofted that ball to Carter, and that should have been one that he, a completion he normally would have made. Can you pinpoint some of the maybe accuracy issues that you're seeing from him right now on those throws?
Yeah, you know, and again, if he's, you know, getting his feet set, I would think be one of them, you know, because I think when anytime you have an inaccurate throw, you always go to the feet, you always go to the base. And I think that's always where it is with any quarterback, you know, and I know that quarterbacks talk about, you know, throwing off platform and all those things, but they still have their feet planted in the ground. And, you know, they do a good job of, you know, getting their shoulders around and getting their feet planted towards the target area. So I think it's important that we start with the ground up, and he's no different than any other quarterback.
I saw a lot of quarterbacks make a lot of throws with their feet with all different proximities to the ground. So I know that's sort of ideal when he says that, but you know, I think in this league right now, that I mean that may have been true 10 years ago, but the throw that Kyler Murray made, hell, the throw that Justin Fields made.
I mean, there have been some throws that have been made that don't fit that ideal, quote-unquote.
Even C.J. Stroud, too. Look at his feet. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I don't know what you wrote down in your notes. He said it's important, the details and fundamentals of running the ball. I'll have a chance to do that this week, and I'm calling it.
What are you calling?
Bears win.
On a Monday?
I never call it.
Not knowing what injuries are, what...
They came out of the game pretty clean. I cannot see how it's possible the Bears lose to the Colts.
Well, wow. It's looking like the Colts will probably be without DeForest Buckner, too. Bears, I saw a tweet this morning that said his ankle is sprained. It's not severe, but he's a long shot for this weekend.
Yeah, Bears win.
Wow.
Bears win. I don't usually do this.
So you're banking on number one... You're banking number one on course correction.
I'm banking a dead cat bounce. I'm banking on them. It's them concentrating on what they want to do happens to coincide with a team that's not good at stopping it.
The fact that the Colts gave up over 200 yards rushing in the first half of their last game?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so I also,
from what I've seen of Anthony Richardson, exciting as hell, but isn't quite understanding what's going on out there.
He's not consistent enough. I could say the same about another quarterback, but I don't know.
And who would that be?
I don't know that would change based on what kind of protection that he has. That other quarterback I'm speaking of.
I just tell you, I don't make predictions, and I don't take any pride in my predictions. But I always tell you, if I do feel something, I will share it with you. I don't always feel something, and I'm not always right. But Bears are going to win this game.
Okay, well, if they have better line play, then I'm with you, but I'm not as convinced that that's necessarily going to happen.
You don't have to be.
I was listening for the Roshan Johnson, because I do kind of wonder how he's gotten lost in the shuffle, and they're talking about mixing it up. Has Travis Homer just outplayed Roshan Johnson in practice? Is that what you heard?
Or does the connection to Waldron through Seattle trump any of it?
Well, Gerald Everett says... That might play a heavier role than we're giving credit to when we talk about all things with this offense. His answer on, I didn't love the way the question was phrased at the end, about Shane Waldron because he's like, what are his strengths? I want to know, like, what is your overall evaluation of what he's done with this offense?
How's he doing?
Yeah, because he's not so far. But the grace is there that I'm giving. But I wanted to know what has given you confidence that they will turn this thing around. He talked about that a little bit. And, you know, back to the execution, back to the normal things. Also, I hadn't done the math yet on this one. I didn't realize that Caleb had been sacked on 12% of his dropbacks. That's a lot.